Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you once again for joining. I'm Angelica Kimene, Head of Market Climate and ESG Strategy at Optima Shipping Services. And for the next 10 minutes, I will do something very simple. I'll connect the dots between what we just lived through in 2025 and what is most likely to set rates in 2026 across the oil tankers and the dry bulk carriers. And I want to set the tone from the start. 2026 is not a massive volume growth story. It's just a trade geography and effective supply story. The market, how fragmented trades remain and how much loose the fleet really is once regulation, speed, and inefficiencies are taken into account. So this slide is the framing lens. If you take only one thing away today, let it be these. In both tankers and bulk, ton miles and friction matter more than headline demand. And when I say tight crude tonnage here, I don't mean there are no ships. I mean something more operational. So utilization is high enough that small changes in routing, delays, or cargo timing move the freight market disproportionately. And that's what tightness look like in practice, a little loose and fast repricing. On tankers, the core setup is long-haul flows remain structurally elevated because trade patterns after 2022 are still doing work. And on dry bulk, the setup is we are in a mid-cycle balance, but the upside is selective, driven mainly by route lengthening and a commodity mix that continues to shift toward minor bulks, especially bauxite and agri bulks. So the question we need to concentrate on is not what's the order book, actually, it's how much effective capacity is the market accidentally removing through rerouting speed and compliance. And now let's go market by market. 2025 was another year where crude did the heavy lifting. On the left, the VLCC number tells the story, about $54,000 per day on average in 2025, up from $37,700 per day on average in 2024. The Suezmax followed the same pattern, around $50,600 per day on average, up from the previous year's $38,200 per day. And that's not a marginal improvement. That's a clear re-rating of crude freight driven by high utilization and long-haul flows. The clean side is where the market split became obvious. MRs averaged about $24,600 per day, down from their previous year, $30,200 per day. And that is a normalization from a very strong 2024, very clean environment. But the nuance, so important for positioning, is the line at the bottom. Late 2025, LR1 and LR2s retightened into year end. So even within clean normalization, the curve wasn't a straight line down. It firmed again where the market got tighter. So if somebody asks what actually drove that split, it's straightforward. Crude strengthened on long-haul flows and tight utilization, and products normalized versus their 2024 averages, with the delivery wave risk more concentrated in the MR and LR buckets, even though parts of the larger clean complex tightened again later in the year. Here we ask, abundant barrels, tight ships, So both can be true. On demand, the point is not that the world runs out of oil, obviously. The point is that routing and refinery geography keep ship days elevated. Rerouting post 2022 still underpins long-haul crude and products. Crude remains roughly 70% of tanker ton miles, clean around 20%. So the crude complex still sets the tone for utilization. On supply, the fleet picture is supportive, but not scarcity in the simplistic sense. The trading fleet above 10,000 deadweight tons is a little over 6,100 ships, around 677 million deadweight tons, with an average age just under 14 years. So the order book is roughly 135 million deadweight, or about 20% of the fleet in service. And the delivery window that matters is mostly on 2026, 2027. Now, the base case written on the slide is the one I would stand behind. For crude tankers, utilization remains high and earnings can stay structurally above the past decade average, even if rates ease from late 2025 peaks. And for product tankers, the market looks more balanced because MR deliveries meet softer product demand growth. Yet sanctions effects and fragmented refining still support long-haul CPP complexity. And the key swing you see on the slide is exactly the risk investors need to keep front of mind. Any partial normalization of Russian flows and broader route normalization, because that compresses ton miles, releases effective supply, and the freight market reprices quickly. So the risk isn't a collapse in barrels, the risk is a compression in miles. So that's a scenario that releases ships back into the market. This slide is about discipline. Secondhand values are well above long-term norms, long-run norms, with crude segments around 50% above 10 years averages. So this is not a cheap assets market, obviously. You don't buy your way into easy upside here. You earn your return through cash generation, trade optionality, and quality, meaning eco or upgradable units that remain commercially liquid as regulation tightens. So that's why the preference set stays consistent. Modern Aframax and LR2s as core exposure because of flexibility across dirty and clean opportunities, and then selective VLCCs or Suezmax as higher beta candidates if you want more torque to the crude cycle. So it's basically an earn your carry market where vessel selection and optionality matter as much as the directional view. Dry bulk in 2025 was not a boom. It was a year of consolidation, mid-cycle returns, with strong dispersion. Fleet-wide inflation-adjusted earnings averaged about $14,255,000 per day, roughly one third below the 30-year benchmark of around $22,000 per day. Demand growth and supply growth were both in the low single digits. Shipments and ton miles were up a little over 2%, and supply up about 2.5%. So it was a market that cleared, but without runaway tightness. What made 2025 interesting wasn't the average, it was the split by segment. Capes led. So that's the leverage to long haul iron ore and bauxite. And smaller sizes lagged because they are more exposed to shorter sea or regional trades where the route lengthening tailwind is actually weaker. And that actually brings us to the read through into 2026. This is a market where continuity is the base case, with selective upside for the segment sitting in the center of the evolving cargo mix. So that's why Kamsarmaxes are highlighted as a preferred exposure into our annual reports, and because it's increasingly anchored in diversified bauxite and agri bulk flows rather than depending on any cargo story. This is the cleanest way to say the bulk demand story. Ton miles grow faster than tons. For 2026, the slide assumes tons under 1% per year, but ton miles around 2% per year. That's not a contradiction. It's actually a routing outcome. If origin shifts, if Atlantic and West Africa flows thicken into Asia, ship days rise, even if total volumes are only ending up. Iron ore remains the anchor at about 1% volume growth, but the ton mile optionality comes from longer haul legs. Brazil and West Africa into Asia being the obvious examples. The commodity mix shift is the key. Coal is a shrinking base load cargo, still capable of spiky rallies, but not the structural growth pillar. The quiet growth engine is minor bulks, with bauxite called out as the standout, alongside fertilizers, metals, and minerals. Grains are the defensive, let's call it, component. Volumes are resilient, but routes can be volatile, and origin switches can tighten tonnages quickly. So the big message, bulk demand is not just how much, it's from where to where and how far. On the supply side, on the supply side, we do have a bulge to respect. The order book is around 12.5% of the fleet in service, with a visible delivery bulge in 2026 and 2027. So much as the tankers, fleet growth is projected at 2.7% in 2026 and around 3.5% in 2027 before actually easing. The fleet age profile is also meaningful. Average age is again around 13 years old, with 31% at 15 years older, and 13% at 20 years or older. Why no panic? Because supply is not only what gets delivered, supply is also how fast the fleet sails and how much scrapping becomes economical as ships hit what I would call the regulatory dodgy aids, the point where compliance costs, efficiency gaps, and commercial penalties start to bite harder. FFA sentiments repriced calendar 26 higher through 2025, which is the market's way of signaling that it seems firmer, that it sees a firmer 2026 conditions for large and mid-sized tonnage. But the slide is clear on the condition. The bulge is manageable if slow steaming persists, and segment skew matters because parts of the Ultramax pipeline are actually heavier. Asset prices confirm that the market is already paying for a constructive view. Capesize values show the largest premium. They are about 63% versus the 10-year average. Kamsarmax and Ultramax are 34% to 39% up. With values already pricing optimism, the return is no longer a beta. It's a selection and execution, buying the part of the fleet that stays commercially preferred as regulation tightens. So the preference set is consistent with the demand story. Kamsarmax, Ultramax for balanced exposure to the evolving commodity mix, Capesize if you want higher risk leverage, and Handysize as the defensive carry. So let me close with this last slide with positioning, because that's what investors would ultimately need. On oil tankers, the opportunity is that crude exposure remains supported by long-haul flows and fleet aging can keep effective supply tight. You also retain optionality across dirty and clean trades, and the swing variables are clear. Macro slowdown, geopolitics normalizing routes, and a faster than expected delivery impact in the MR and LR buckets. On the dry bulk, the opportunity is selective. We like the Kamsarmax, Panamax cluster linked to bauxite and agri bulk, and we like the fact that minor bulks broaden earnings resilience. Route lengthening, particularly Atlantic to Asia, support ship days. The swing variables are the delivery bulge and speed discipline, plus the pace of calls decline and how quickly regulation forces behavior change. So, one sentence summary, 2026 is still constructive, but it's a market that will reward precision in segment choice, in asset quality, and in understanding the geography and effective supply that are doing the pricing. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful holiday season. Until next year, happy holidays, and thank you very much for listening.